This is CliffCentral.com.
Wow. I'm so glad that I remembered that this was Journey.
Yes, oh, well done.
What a band. But they were standing out here now, and they're very old, obviously. And
they've been on a very long journey.
Yes, and life has not been kind to all of them. But just watching their old music video, the original one, it's just amazing to watch these bands that were big in the like 80s and 90s, and how they looked. Because we're used to everything being so polished now, you know. I mean, we've got like Beyonce, who appears like a goddess in every one of her music videos.
Yeah, and it's largely due to production and technology. And
sure, and also a lot of makeup and costume design and that kind of
special effects.
These guys were basically just long-haired,
it was raw,
ugly people.
Look, there was nothing wrong with the way talented people looked in the 60s, the 50s, the 60s. 70s and 80s and 90s, things went a little sideways.
What do you mean?
In terms of the way people looked.
The way they dressed or the way they wore their hair? Or
the way they wore their hair, mostly. Mm. Yeah, I mean, we had variations in this song with from very, very curly to almost straightened with a hair straightener and bangs on a man.
But all long.
Yes, all long. And just like, that's what they looked like all the time. They didn't do it for the video.
Oh, they were a mess. In a good way, though. I love it. Journey's my go-to karaoke band.
It's a feel-good thing, isn't it?
If I have to sing any sort of karaoke song, it's always Journey.
All right, a few comments from the social media and from 0797482090, where you can post your comment too. A couple of things people want to say. First of all, essentially, Bitcoin. Yes and no. I mean, this is what we're trying to introduce to the conversation now with Sean, is that there are other things going on. But thanks for that message. Mark Morris says, the hospital staff from Mamelodi should be arrested. They should not be on special leave. Good point. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I wonder what that special leave means. Are they saying they're taking them away while they're thoroughly investigating everything?
Yeah.
But I mean, okay. Natalie, I guess, to be fair.
Natalie, very controversial. Natalie says, happy Monday. She says, I really love Anthea, but damn, I could listen to Henry all day. She says, with a dreamy face.
Wow.
Glad you love Cape Town this weekend. Franschhoek and Stellenbosch are very awesome towns. Have a great week. That's Natalie in Cape Town. All right, Natalie, and I'll pass on your message to Henry.
Ooh,
morning, guys. Sports update. The Proteas are shit, and Liverpool won the UEFA Champions League 2.0. Tottenham just didn't have the firepower to take Liverpool down. Yeah, I saw a lot of people were excited about that on Saturday night. Yes.
Oh, I can even give my own version of a sports update.
Go on.
Anthony Joshua was beat up by a dude who looks like he was spending time in a pub.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, this was a big story. I don't even know who Anthony Joshua is. I'm so out of it.
No, he's big in the boxing world, and he's one of those
taken on by this
ripped guys.
Yeah, but he's taken on by this fat dude, right?
He really looked like, I don't know him from above, but just from pictures, he just looked like he was at the bar having a drink. He heard there's some boxing match happening. He's like, yeah, sure, let me go and join. He went in there and beat the lights out of Anthony.
Well, speaking about taking the lights out and changing things, doing the unexpected, apparently Donald Trump has shattered all the rules of diplomatic etiquette. He began his UK visit.
Yeah, you remember last time?
This is a state visit to the UK, which these things are usually swamped with ceremony and protocol.
Especially when it comes to the royals. And remember last time he was there, I actually only remembered when I saw him there this year. Mm-hmm. He kind of cut off the Queen when they were walking through the armed guards.
Yeah.
And he kept on, it was almost as if he didn't realize she was there, and he was walking in front of her, and she had to like sidestep to get back into
that.
The limelight.
Yeah.
Well, he's at it again. I mean, he's firstly...
Did he grab Meghan's tits or something worse?
No, well, you know, ages ago, Meghan Markle called him misogynistic and divisive. That was during the 2016 election while she was on a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
And
she wished she hadn't said that now.
Well, I think she would probably still stick by it. But
2016, I think that was before then
the election.
She met Harry.
Yes.
So this was before she was a royal.
She was on the Nightly show with Larry Wilmore, so she clearly wouldn't have met him yet.
Uh-huh.
But she was a strong supporter of Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
And at the time,
crooked,
very, very...
Crooked, please.
Crooked, Hillary, yes. But was very vocal about her dislike for Donald Trump, who was the presidential candidate at that time. She said, yes, of course, Trump is divisive. Think about female voters alone, right? She said, as misogynistic as Trump is, so vocal about it, etc. Anyway, Trump actually didn't really pick up on this when it originally happened. It was only just recently where the Sun was interviewing him in the Oval Office, and they, the interviewers, brought it to his attention that this is what Meghan Markle had said.
Right.
Oh, that makes for a delightful meeting.
So now, now things are awkward.
Yeah, now Trump has to meet with Harry for a luncheon, right? Not Meghan because she's still busy with Archie, etc. But he called her nasty.
Nasty princess.
Yeah.
No.
She's a nasty princess.
Wait, now, who's this according to?
He tweeted it. Firstly, it was on a recorded interview where he said that Meghan Markle is nasty.
Oh, no.
He said, I didn't know she was nasty. That was in his reply interview with The Sun. Then he tweeted on Sunday morning, because now he has to go and meet Harry for lunch, so he's trying to fix things up.
Yeah.
He tweeted, I never called Meghan Markle nasty.
Okay.
But he did.
It's on tape. So, I mean, more than that, he apparently plunged headlong into the country's domestic politics, which was not a good idea.
You're not meant to do that.
No. He waded into the Conservative Party's contest to find a new prime minister and Britain's paralyzing debate on leaving the EU. And British critics are now outraged.
Oh, they're outraged.
You know, obviously, respecting diplomatic niceties has never been Trump's style.
No.
And now he has literally bombshelled interviewers with a whole lot of stuff that he has said about.
Go on.
Okay, let me see. He has said.
Give me some examples. Love this.
Oh, I'm cringing.
He suggested that May would have been better off had she adopted his barnstorming negotiating style in the intricate exit talks with the EU. He said May should refuse to pay the £49 billion divorce payment required by the EU. He said they've got to get this done. They've got to get the deal closed.
Yeah, he's right. That's what the British people have said. It's not controversial.
I don't know. Maybe they just don't like it because it's coming from him. They don't want.
That's exactly the problem. They don't like it because. Yeah, exactly. And they don't like the idea either. So I wouldn't be surprised that people are complaining now. Find any reason to complain. The British press, please. And to get upset by what they say, we'll be here all day. Okay.
Mm. Yep. So that's that. Let's see how else his visit goes. I don't know if there'll be any other awkward things that come out, but most likely there
will
be.
Did you see that video of that? That huge ship that went into the pier in Venice.
No.
I thought it was also a joke. You know, you never know what to believe on social
media. It looks photoshopped. It's like so dramatic.
Massive MSC boat. It's a ship.
Like one of the cruise lines.
MSC Opera. I'm not sure.
That's the one that comes here.
Which one have we been on?
That was the Sinfonia.
Okay.
But the Opera comes here as well. So this thing went straight into the dock in Venice.
Yep.
You got to see the video.
Like this is someone who was trying to like, who just missed.
I don't know.
Wasn't able to park it properly.
Do they know what happened?
Well, the thing is, once, you know, these things, it happened. It wasn't moving fast, you know.
No, it goes slowly.
It goes really slowly. So it's not like speed.
And it pushed another boat out of the way. But
when it does hit something, it's deliberate and it doesn't stop.
It's grinding.
Yeah. So it rammed into a dock and a tourist riverboat in the Venice canals. Five people were injured.
Yeah.
But this has now sparked new calls, because apparently it's been going on for a while, on placing restrictions on cruise ships in the famed city.
Jesus. Scary.
It was apparently unable to stop. It was blaring its horn.
Oh, no.
As it slammed into a much smaller boat called the River Countess. And the dock. Dozens of people were running away in panic. In videos of the crash, people were seen rushing to disembark from the moored riverboat over a short gangplank. I mean, can you imagine this let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 7, 8, 9, 10. It's about 12 stories high, this ship.
Yeah, so I've seen two videos, the one from the dock where people are running while this thing is like barreling towards the dock. And then I saw one from above with these two Australians going, oh my God, Jesus.
Australian commentary.
Can you believe what's happening here? Unbelievable.
What's the damage like? Do we know yet?
Don't know.
Well, besides the five injuries of people, the dock is pretty much ripped up. But it's not as big as, you know, what you would think it would be. Because, as I say, it was moving really slowly. It's just that it's really deliberate. Can't stop.
Jeez, imagine a huge thing like that and you don't know. But so, what, was the guy sleeping at the wheel?
I don't know. It doesn't say. But, you know, these things can be misjudged from time to time. Aeroplanes overshoot runways sometimes, you know, these things happen.
Who am I to judge? I still bump and scrape my car trying to parallel park, so I understand.
Exactly. So the people injured are four women, an American, a New Zealander, and two Australians.
Oh, well, then it's all right.
And shame, they're between the ages of 67 and 72.
Oh, then it's definitely all right.
They were injured falling or trying to run away.
I'm kidding.
Shame.
That's awful. Imagine like a 67-year-old trying to run away from a giant ship.
So MSC.
That's like a comedy show, if it wasn't real.
I don't think it's much of a run at that age. Oh, it's just God. A fast pace.
Listen, 67's not that old. But still, what a horrible thing. You've paid for this holiday and this is what you get.
Man.
Well, apparently MSC Cruises is apologizing, saying it was a mechanical problem. They obviously knew about it before the time, the crunch time, pardon the pun, because two tugboats were out guiding the cruise ship in and they tried to stop the MSC Opera, but they were unable to stop it, obviously, being two little tugboats.
That is the power of something, ladies and gentlemen, called inertia.
Mm-hmm, that's it.
So momentum and inertia. It's just unreal. Okay, so I talked the other day about this huge queue of people who are heading towards the summit of Everest just before the end of the climbing season, which closed, I think, a week or two ago. It's just insane. People lining up along the ridge at the top of Everest so that they can get to the summit, have their picture taken, and then get down again because the people queuing up behind them. It's become a very popular
crazy,
thing.
Man, yeah.
Soon we'll just have a travelator that goes to the top.
Yeah, ski lifts.
Yeah. But apparently there are some climbers who are missing in the Himalayas and they're unlikely to be found. They just eventually call off the search parties because they realize it's just too much effort and they're not going to find anyone and it's just a disaster. So what's the latest on that?
Well, that's the point that's been reached with these eight climbers. It's a group of eight. So it's four Britons, two Americans, an Australian and an Indian climber, most likely a Sherpa of kinds. They were attempting to climb Nanda Devi Mountain. Mm-hmm. There have been airborne searches. Two Indian Air Force helicopters have been searching the area. Nanda Devi is India's second highest peak. The group were attempting to climb on a previously unused route. So poor weather has made sure that the operations are suspended. And if people were to go on foot, it would take days to trek the last known location of the group. They were part of a larger contingent of 12 climbers who began their ascent way back on the 13th of May, just off the Western Nepal border. So, yeah, they've been missing since the 25th of May.
Sure.
Oh, no.
You know, they just leave you up there when you die on the mountain.
Because
too much effort to bring you down.
Too much money.
I mean, they occasionally will bring someone down when, you know, when they're in the way or if there's a helicopter around or one of those things. But usually people just get left there. And there are thousands of bodies under the snow and then they thaw out in the summer.
So one of the climbers...
Yeah, it's your favorite.
No, imagine you are hiking up there and you want to just... take a moment and catch your breath and you sit down
and there's
a hand
right under your ass. Oh. Someone who died like 16 years ago at the top of Everest.
So one of the climbers, Ruth McCants from Australia.
That's an unfortunate name.
She was
Why?
In one of her blogs, She said, as much, because she was an experienced climber, she stopped climbing at the age of 30.
Yeah.
She said, as much as I loved it and saw others climbing safely and well, I became overwhelmed by the risks involved, so I stopped. But then she started again at the age of 47. She's one of the ones who are missing.
Mm-hmm. It's just unfortunate, you know, losing a loved one and not being able to have the closure of burying mm-hmm. them, I think has to be one of the toughest things a family has to go through.
Put up a sign.
Oh, okay.
Put a ribbon around a tree.
Listen.
Oh, look at you sentimental, emotional people.
don't go climbing the world's highest mountain and dying up there. Just don't do stupid stuff. You put yourself in the way of danger sometimes.
Which one shouldn't you do? Shouldn't you either climb or shouldn't you climb and die?
I wouldn't do either. Okay. I'm staying away from both. Okay, first of all, comment from someone on the WhatsApp line saying, Jesus, listening to you people do sport is dreadful. Agreed. We did try to get Ben on the line, but it didn't work. From time to time, I spend weekends listening to podcasts from a few years ago. I noticed something quite different from the Gareth Cliff show of old. What happened to the games, the quizzing, and Leanne's whimsical polls?
Oh.
Maybe Leanne should bring back her polls.
Forget whimsical about polls.
The games, we don't really play anymore. No, the show's changed. The character of the show's changed. I hope for the better. And Carl says, apparently Anthony Joshua is blaming his loss on the Drake curse. Apparently when Drake expresses support for someone, they lose. So the loss is actually Drake's fault. Thank you, Carl. That's very helpful. Okay.
What nonsense is that?
I don't know. There's the Drake curse. I'm willing to believe it. What's wrong with why don't you believe it?
If I was his coach, I'd say it's because of all of those Cheetos and Doritos you were eating, not pitching up here in time to train.
How do you unclog a toilet without a plunger?
Well, it's,
where's this conversation going?
It's something useful to know. I mean, have you been in the situation before?
Leanne and I were talking about this earlier. Yeah. How do you unclog? She often will really fill the bowl and then...
Where is this conversation?
And she sometimes goes, oh no, my plunger. I can't remember where I put it.
See, I hope this is real and practical and not something disgusting, because if you end up saying I have to stick my hand somewhere, I don't want to stick it in.
Is this the one with the plastic cling film?
No, not, but I have seen that one.
A 2-liter bottle?
No.
Okay.
I haven't Carry seen on. That one. You know, I've been in this situation before, and the problem is you flush and the water rises.
Problem is not when it's at your house and you have this problem. It's when you're at someone else's house.
Toilet trauma always happens at someone else's house.
Leanne, let's face it. How did you get into the situation? What happened?
Oh, I've had many, many toilet traumas. I remember the once. It was extra long.
You're among friends.
It was extra long.
Yeah.
Okay. Extra long. And there was no. It wouldn't go down.
Oh God.
And there was no toilet brush.
Oh God.
So I had to call my husband at the time, who went and sourced a toilet brush from another loo and had to break it up so that it went down.
No.
And then promptly told everyone when he came back to the table.
Is that why you divorced? Because that would be it for me.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons. That's really breaking confidence. Sure.
Okay.
Straight after dinner, I filed those divorce papers.
What you should not do is you must avoid flushing repeatedly. It's kind of, it's the first thing you want to do, right?
Yeah.
But you don't want to clog the toilet and a flooded bathroom floor. So firstly, remove the tank lid, okay?
Okay.
Push down the flapper.
Now, do this now.
I swear this is going to save at least 5 people.
Exactly.
This is very helpful information, everybody. Yes. So take notes. Stop whatever you're doing. If you are driving, pull over to the side of the road. This is very useful.
All right,
let's go. Yeah. All right.
You're in a toilet trauma. Remove the tank lid.
Push
down the flapper. Now, the flapper is the rubber contraption towards the bottom. Okay. Next, cut off the toilet's water supply by turning the valve with a little tap. It's usually located behind the loo. And wait for it all to reside before you tackle the mess inside.
Okay.
Okay. Ways you can do it. Dish soap or even hand soap. So there's usually some liquid hand soap
in
the bathroom.
Sure, of course. Okay.
Okay. Fill the actual toilet with a hefty helping of soap. And sometimes, and more often than not, the slippery substance can break down solids.
But that
solids.
Means you have to put your hand in the toilet.
No, you squeeze the bottle, the pump bottle.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, okay. If it's one of those.
I'm thinking a bar of soap.
No, like liquid hand soap.
Okay.
It can actually break down the solids and guide them down the drain. So you just give the mixture a bit of time to work.
Need sure. some lube.
Mm-hmm. And then try and flush. If you happen to be at home mm-hmm. by yourself or in a place where you may have access to hot water, not boiling, but hot water, mm-hmm. pouring it into the bowl, the force of the water should help break up the clogging culprits.
Oh, so you can take some hot water from the sink then?
Yes, you could.
Yeah. The?
Yes.
The basin, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If, you know, bath bombs?
Yes.
If you plop one of those in.
Uh-oh.
Into the bowl,
yeah.
The fizziness does its thing for a little while.
But hold up, if I'm now at someone's house, not only am I spending 8 minutes in the loo,
but now you're
missing
out
the
cupboards.
Dinner table, now I'm also going to mess with their soap and or their bath bombs as well. Oh, I'm an amazing guest at this point.
I love you.
Okay, if there is a toilet brush,
yes,
like a. Use it like a cleaning wand, as you would a plunger. You have to dive deep, though, really deep.
Yeah, get in there.
Thrust away at that drain hole.
Mm.
You might want to toss the brush after the deed is done. And I don't know, people always seem to think that you have wire hangers lying around. Who does?
Well, you know, I often leave some lying in the bathroom, yeah.
Okay, so you can use a wire hanger. Oh, just use it like a toilet snake.
And then what do you do with it afterwards?
That's the thing.
No, you just push it around until the blockage eventually gives.
No, what do you do with the hanger? After you've got a shit hanger.
Shit stained
hanger.
Throw
it out the window.
You are...
Don't look at me in such disbelief.
You just throw it out of the window?
Maybe.
Oh, wow.
I wish you would know.
Since it's a wire hanger, I'd put it back together if I was
at
someone's house. Absolutely.
With the, loo paper and
then
rinse it off.
Yes.
If anyone has Epsom salts or like baking soda.
Sure, let me just.
Epsom salts in the cupboard. Yeah,
I don't know,
sure.
suggest to your host you want to bake cookies and get this baking soda out.
At this point, I think what would be easier is you leave the loo as is, you hurriedly leave the house, say, oh, cheers, guys, sorry, emergency, gotta go, and then you delete the person's number and you never speak to them again.
That's and move to Poland forever.
So much easier.
Or you don't do that because then they know it's you, and then you'll always be the person who took the massive shit in their bathroom and they've never been able to get rid of it. So you just go back, you go, oh my God, someone has just been in that bathroom. I was just about to use it, and it's horrific. Can someone please help me sort this out? Because
I'm not going in there.
I'm not going in there.
I can't go near it.
You go, huh? Emergency! You call 911, and you say, I don't know who could have done this. This is appalling.
What beast just does this?
That's how I fix the loo. But this is. Look, this is exactly why I have a sign up in my guest bathroom that says, strictly no pooing. Because you don't want this. This is so awkward. Can ruin a social occasion, can ruin a friendship.
Not everyone's in control of...
Makes everybody unhappy. It makes everybody uncomfortable. Don't do it. You just do not. You never need to poo anywhere but at home. Please. Mm-hmm. Let's just try and keep our assholes in good nick, please.
It's not always that easy.
I think it is.
Leanne, there are ways and means around
this. All right, this is very lavatorial for a Monday morning. Let's see if we can improve your overall demeanor this morning. Apparently, there's a crowdfunding campaign. I saw this on social media too that has soared for a Hero Petrol attendant in Cape Town. Leanne will give us the background of that, but I'm sure you've seen it. This crowdfunding, they've raised... thousands of rands.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands. So what happened was a woman named Monet van Deventer, she shared the story. She pulled up at the petrol station mm-hmm. and she realized that she had left her bank card at home.
Right.
So this petrol attendant, Nkosi Kumbele, paid 100 rand out of his own pocket to top up the tank of this motorist. because he was worried that she would be stranded on a notorious stretch of highway if she ran out of fuel. Really good deed for him, of him. So Monet not only shared the heartwarming story on Facebook, but she also returned to give him his 100 Rand back. She also started a crowdfunding initiative called On Back a Buddy to raise money for his family. She said his two children, mom and brother, live with him in Khayelitsha and right. will really benefit from any donations. Well, the donations have now reached 282,000 Rand.
Jesus.
Just from him paying out 100 Rand of his own money to help her.
See, sometimes you will be rewarded for a good deed.
And asked what he would like to do with the money. He's obviously going to use it to help his family, but he has also said he'd like to help children on the streets. So, yeah, just before 11 a.m. yesterday, it had raised 282,000.
Wow. I love that. The guy's going to suddenly get a bonus of 282,000 Rand.
It's really good. So well done to Monet van Dieffenter, who set up the account. She said thank you to the petrol attendant for giving her hope for South Africa.
I love that. That's such a happy story. And yeah. it shows you that sometimes a good deed does bring a reward.
Absolutely.
I love the fact that she shared this, though, because otherwise no one would have known.
Yeah.
If she hadn't put this up and people – just shows you. I mean, like if everybody gave 2 Rand, there'd be millions.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, hundreds of thousands for this guy. It's terrific. It's very, very good news. I'm excited. When I hear stories like this, it makes me happy. First thing on a Monday, that's what you need to know, not how to unclog the loo. Marius de Toy is the founder and managing director of Beat the Price. I'm going to talk a little bit to him. Have you recently bought a car or are you thinking about doing that? Well, then you'll know how tedious and strenuous a task it can be. Now, in the middle of all of this, you have to consider when buying a car, you have to wonder where you're getting the best deal, the best bang for your buck. Well, after only 5 months since its inception in Cape Town, Beat the Price is already set to become a game changer in the way we buy and sell new cars. You want to find out more?
Ooh.
Well, we've got the founder and MD of Beat the Price to tell us more. Marius de Toy, he's on the line. Hey, Marius, how are you this morning?
Top of the world.
Good. I'm very happy. Top of the world indeed. Beat the Price is a good idea. I've heard of this in other parts of the world, but we've been waiting for it to come to South Africa. Obviously, nobody knows when they're getting a good deal or a bad deal because you have to go around and compare prices with everyone, and that's impossible. Who has the time?
Agreed.
So how did you come up with the idea? Did you have a situation in your own life that gave you an idea about this?
I've been working in the motor industry for close to 30 years. So, you know, I saw basically what the need was.
Yeah.
I moved down to Cape Town and I had a choice, either start going into the industry again or do something that is aligned to the industry and I can actually use my knowledge on. That's how we got the idea. And we started, you actually said we 5 months. We're going on 2 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's not a short space of time, but sometimes it feels like 5 months, right? When you've been really, really busy, it feels like you just started.
That's so true.
So, Marius, tell me about the basic idea here. It's an online marketplace for new vehicle sales, right?
Yeah, specifically new cars. So, on used cars, the problem is you can't really compare them. You know, somebody's grandmother's car in Joburg and somebody's grandmother's car in another town could be two different cars, where yeah. new cars are exactly the same thing. So right. a white Corolla in Joburg and a white Corolla in Cape Town is the same thing. I decided we can compare them and what we physically then do, the customer goes into the site. He says which new vehicle he wants and which area is. Area is very specific because invariably our prices include delivery. So the customer, you know, the dealer must deliver the car to that area. He has to equate that cost. Then the dealers that have that specific model get an email and they then go in and bid against each other. And the dealer with the cheapest price will then get the lead.
Sure. Okay.
That's very impressive. How much artificial intelligence and machine learning is being done in the background when this happens?
It's very automated. The artificial intelligence and stuff like that, we don't really have anything specific because it's straightforward. The guys bid, and invariably the automated process would decide which price is the lowest. Instead of, like you said, instead of you going to – in some cases, we get 40 bids on one car from 40 different dealers. I don't know how long it's going to take you to either phone 40 dealers and then go back and forth and try and horse trade the thing. It's going to take you months. where it takes us up to 2 days.
It's amazing. And you, I see on your site you can specify color choice. If your dealer has your car in stock but a different kind, can they offer it to you? Accessories. Do you have a trade-in vehicle? Do you have car insurance? All of this stuff gets factored into the eventual results, right?
Yeah, we do offer the clients on, we give them extra products. Like if you want insurance, we can get somebody to give you a call on that as well. Because that's something you need in South Africa before you even take the car. Mm. Most guys will also need finance, and we can also assist that.
So, for example, give me a guess here, an estimate of how well or how badly this process can go for someone who's on there. Let's say, for example, you get lots and lots of bids on a single vehicle. How many buyers have the confidence or the patience to manually negotiate on that many bids? It's impossible, right? In this case, you guys can do all that stuff in the background for them.
Yes. It's ludicrous. I mean, just try and phone a dealership sometimes to get a price. It takes you half a day.
Yeah.
Because the guy's not there. He's not answering his phone. Or he has to get an answer from his boss. And that we automate.
And sometimes sometimes these dealers, it almost feels like they're just sucking the price out of their thumb, because they can make a huge discount here, or they say to you, this is the absolute best price, and you find out like a month later you could have got it cheaper somewhere else. It can be infuriating.
Isn't that the worst thing? Find out later you could get it better. I hate that personally. And it's happened a few times, and it probably happens to everybody a few times. We try and stop that whole thing. So. See, the problem for South Africans is we don't really have all the knowledge. The internet's rife with information, but we don't have pricing information in South Africa, really.
Yeah.
So you'll see a special and then think, oh, this is a special. But meanwhile, some dealer in Springbok, Pietersfontein, is sitting with that car, and nobody wants a yellow car like that in his town. So he'll sell that to you in Cape Town. He'll bring it to you. He'll bring you a bottle of champagne and some biltong and all of the nice stuff.
Right. Okay, so how's it going now? You said 2 years ago when you started this, it was a brand new idea and it was obviously difficult to get it off the ground. How's it going now?
Fantastic. We have about 30 auctions closing every day. So we're helping at least 30 guys every day. Before we activate the auction, we also phone the customer and have a discussion with him. Let me know all the leads are, you know, quality leads we send through to the dealers. There's nothing more infuriating for them to, on a daily basis, bid on 30 auctions and then, you know, it's not really something worthwhile. So it's very important for us to also give the customers good attention when we phone them, and then the dealer's a good lead.
And Marius, is there a loser in this situation, or is everybody a winner because there's value all round?
Now, that's if is there a loser? I'm trying to, when you said that, the loser would be,
you know, as opposed to the old way of doing things, where a lot of people were taken advantage of, a lot of the dealerships
Telkom.
Wasted their time. So Telkom's the only possible loser, because you know,
which probably nobody would mind. You'll phone less.
Okay, so that sounds to me like a really good way of going about things. So what's your big vision for Beat the Price? Where would you like to see this business in another 5 years?
Well, we are looking at international expansion. So there's a lot of countries, even in Africa, that could use this system. And Australia is one of the places. So we want to grow it into something that's multinational.
Awesome. Well, listen, I can only wish you luck. It's a great idea. It's obviously something a lot of people, if they're in the market for a new car, will be taking very seriously as one of the options. Beattheprice.co.za. And this is the guy who started it all, Marius du Toit. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gareth.
All right, Marius. Pleasure to speak to you. Good luck.
Good. Thanks.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I see that the donations to the crowdfunding, the guy that you were talking about, have now reached almost 400,000.
What?
Yep.
So since yesterday at 11 a.m., less than 24 hours, it's like gone up by a third.
One screenshot that I've just been sent by somebody says 365,000 rand. And another one says the crowdfunding is on 400,000 rand now. How cool.
That's amazing.
How cool is that, huh?
Jeez. This guy has won the lotto. I mean, but this time from doing a really kind thing.
I'm just wondering what I can sell on the internet and make 400,000 rand with.
I'm going to offer someone 100 bucks in petrol. Let's see what happens.
Somehow, I don't think they're going to be rushing to help you, Leanne.
Stand at the petrol station and run up and say, would you like 100 rand? Yeah, take it.
Well, maybe it'll make people suddenly do really nice things for no good reason and in the hopes that they'll get 400 grand.
Oh, you really don't have your nice emotional bones today.
No, but come on.
First the insensitive hiker comment.
No, here's the deal. If you do a nice thing, sometimes someone might be watching who can change the world. If you don't do any nice things, this is never going to happen to you.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm the type of person who'll do nice things all my life and
never get a reward.
Never get a reward.
But you know how nice it is to be nice? I know it sounds so corny and indulge me.
Is this said
for,
by CIO? Aren't we a bit late for
No, just indulge me for a moment. But I was shopping on Saturday morning and
yes,
so schmaltzy.
Come on. I'm schmaltzy. I'm the opposite of schmaltzy. You're schmaltzy.
I was shopping on Saturday morning and it happens to be one of these grocery stores where you spend a certain amount of money and you get a toy or something or the other. And there was a lady with her daughter behind me. And as I was about to pay, I thought, well, I'm not going to use these toys in any case. So I just gave it to the kid behind me. She was so happy. The mother was so grateful. Yeah. And I walked out of there thinking like, okay. It wasn't changing the world, but it's just, it makes you feel nice to be nice.
Mm. No, it does. It hits the reward centers of the brain and all of those things.
So go ahead saying how you should leave mountains.
No, Sia, we think you're right.
Not careful.
We obviously think you're right. Rich Mulholland's got something to throw in for the reality check today.
Yeah, what he's I've
told
back.
I've told Rich that he doesn't have to because he's in Iceland and in Norway and in Jamaica and
he's practically Chile shooting Game of Thrones then.
Yeah, he's everywhere. So I said to him, look, just send us a voice note and we'll make that the reality check. We'll usually play them out on a Monday, even if he sends them like this one he sent late last week. And then, you know, we could still have the reality check. People like Rich, they enjoy what he has to say. And maybe this will get you thinking this morning. So here he is, Rich Mulholland with today's reality check.
All right, so here's a little reality check that I wanted to send in. In Facebook nowadays, and in Twitter to a degree, you can use the mute button. So if you have somebody who's a friend or somebody and you don't like what they say on social media, you can mute them. So you can basically never ever hear from them again. Because it's not like a mute some, see others. It's an absolute mute. And so you can do that. And I want to say that this is a tool of a coward. If you do not like something a friend is saying, tell them, I'm unfollowing you because as much as I love you in real life, I don't like your online persona. Muting somebody, it's like, I want to say it's passive aggressive, but it's just cowardice. You're basically saying, I don't want to hear from this person, but I'm too scared to tell them. Here's the thing. If you actually do like them enough to care about them being upset that you've unfollowed them, then you should like them enough to tell them why you're doing it and why you're muting them. You're posting too much. I don't like your tone. Whatever the case may be. And the reason is that maybe other people are too, and maybe they're not as close to you to that person to let them know. This is like the equivalent, the real life equivalent of when you're sitting across from somebody and they've got lettuce in their teeth and you're too embarrassed to tell them that they've got lettuce in their teeth. For goodness sake, let them know, right? Nothing pisses me off more than getting home after a meeting, after a lunch, and seeing that I've got food in my tooth. There's no way that the person didn't notice, but they sent me about their business because they were too embarrassed to tell me. Nah, these are tools of cowards. If you don't like somebody for what they're saying, don't mute them. If you want to mute somebody, have the courage to tell them why you're unfollowing them. Tell them, I look forward to seeing you in real life. I just don't particularly enjoy your social personality, even though I understand exactly why that's the case. Anyway, that's it. Peace out. Stay curious.
There we go. There's today's reality check. He's right, though. If you use that mute function, you're actually cowardly. Rather than if you care about that person, you just say to them, listen, hey, I can't follow you anymore. Your stories are boring or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've got to be so brave to do it, though. Yeah.
Would you just rather mute people?
Yeah, I would. I'm that person.
I'll mute people I don't care about and people I don't know. But if you care about someone, Rich is 100% right.
Mm. No, I think if it was someone I knew well and cared about, it would come up in our joking conversations around the braai.
I can't follow you anymore. You're too political.
Or like, you know, so-and-so's posts, have you seen them? And then all have a good laugh about it.
Wait, Gareth, you said you mute people who you don't care about.
Yeah.
I actually do it reversed. So I mute people who I care about. Or if we work together, or some, maybe you might be a client I need to work with in future. And, you know, people look at you sideways like, oh, why didn't you follow me back? And why isn't that the case? And then might
so
just
you follow
be
them, but
a little
you don't want
awkward.
To
yeah.
know what they
if
say.
If it's people I don't care about, of course, best believe I'll unfollow you and don't care at all. But I have so many people muted. It is just freedom.
Your social media space is a quiet one.
And it's quite a little mind flip for people, because they'll see that you follow them, but you never view any of their things. You never yeah. like or comment, but you just have to. If you think they're all about nonsense, then mute.
Mm.
Look, Rich is correct, though, that you have to, if you, unless you're running away from them and you're just trying to hide away and you don't have the courage or your convictions, if you are interested in someone, but you can't handle them and they're posting on social media anymore, do the right thing and just say to them, hey, I'm not going to follow you anymore. Don't take any offense. I put up a thing on Instagram the other day because someone messaged me on Instagram and said, hey, why are you not following me anymore? What did I do wrong? And I said, no, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm just not that interested in keeping my feed the same the whole time.
You and had people, that conversation?
I just said, if I've unfollowed you, don't take it personally. I like some variety in my feed. I might come back. So I know when I post that, a lot of people are going to go and check and find out mm-hmm. that I'm not following them anymore. And that's okay. They can unfollow me if they find me boring. Mm. But I like some variety.
What do you mean by variety? Like, do you follow this
well, some
same
people
type
only,
of people?
Some people only put themselves in their pictures, right? Some people it's just me, 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 me. And sometimes that's kind of boring. Sometimes I want to change things. I want to look at different stuff.
Mm.
I'll follow architecture things. I'll follow stuff about history. I'll follow stuff about, you know, just beautiful stuff. And I like to vary it. And then sometimes I'll go into my feed and I'll just unfollow a bunch of people because I've had enough of them for a little bit. I might come back.
I think it was Timothy Maurice.
These are not my friends. Instagram is not me and my friends. I don't just follow someone because I know them and like them in real life.
Mm.
I follow them because it's something interesting I want to pay attention to.
More of like a hobby or a... reading a magazine for me.
Yes. Do you think the same way, Leah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you very much.
See, for me, it is a lot of my friends as much as it is my interest.
Yeah, so for
but
you,
it
it's
is
a social
lot,
thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Fine. Fair enough. But then you need to also occasionally follow things that are not your friends.
Yeah.
It's not always a social engagement.
Yeah. A lot
sometimes
of the times
it's stuff.
It's work.
Let's
related.
Say someone makes beautiful things. Let's say there's someone you don't know and they make beautiful things. They make nice hats or they make nice shoes or they make,
restore antiques.
Yeah, whatever. So you follow them. That doesn't mean you're their friend.
Mm-hmm.
And when you like their stuff, it doesn't mean you like them. You like their stuff.
You actually just reminded me of an account I've recently followed on Instagram. It is so fun to follow them. They're called Unnecessary Inventions.
Oh, yeah?
Which is just
wow.
so cool and so true. It's
that
these arbitrary things that you wonder, like, really, would it ever happen? But when you read up about it, you're like, actually, I would appreciate something like that.
Sure.
The other day, they posted something called the eye dangle, something that basically sucks the back of your phone and hangs from the ceiling so that you can look at your phone when you're lying on your bed, on your back.
It's like that's cool.
It's unnecessary, but you'd absolutely appreciate having something like this. They also have a slicer, they called it. It's
cool.
This little star-shaped thing that you put on top of your whole pizza, and it equally cuts your pizza slices. I'm
love
like,
it.
This is so awesome.
I love it. That's great. That
oh
is
my
awesome.
Gosh. They've got stub stoppers. They're like little construction helmets that you put on your big toes so that while you're walking around your apartment, you never stub your big toe.
Stub right. stoppers. That's great.
I think there should be a crowdfunding for them. These things
that's
actually need
genius.
To be manufactured.
That's great. Well done.
Little beanies for each of your fingers.
Yeah. Right. So when
some
it's cold,
cool people to follow there.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's terrific. All right. One last thing from Leanne before we wrap it up for this morning, because she's a cat lady. Apparently, being a cat lady is quite good for your health.
Uh-huh.
It is. So we've heard before that if you stroke a cat, it lowers your blood pressure, right?
Yeah.
And having lots of them around like I do, people seem to think that us cat ladies are going to go mad in our later life.
Yeah, I do.
It's a given, right?
I think you're going to go mad.
Well, new research suggests that cohabiting with cats has zero effect on developing psychosis later in life.
Really?
Take that.
Oh.
Y'all.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean you'll be healthy. It just means you won't be crazy.
It also means that if I am at risk of heart attacks or cardiovascular diseases, including stroke, researchers have observed a decreased risk for death due to those things if you have cats as domestic pets.
Really?
Yep. The study's authors have said acquisition of cats as domestic pets may represent a novel strategy for reducing the risk of cardiovascular diseases in high-risk individuals. Hmm. So I'd probably be dead by now.
Oh, jeez.
Because you didn't have cats.
Yeah. It also eases symptoms of anxiety, having a good kitty cuddle session.
Mm-hmm.
It releases oxytocin or the bonding hormone or cuddle chemical, which makes you feel less stressed.
Oh.
Mark those in the win column for cats.
Okay.
Gareth, I'm with you on changing your feed, says Michelle. I regularly unfollow people. Yeah, and you sometimes follow them back. This is not a statement of friendship. Like, just because someone isn't your Facebook friend doesn't mean they're not your real friend.
Yeah, and it's always a case of what did I do wrong?
There are lots of people I know who aren't on social media, and I'm friends with them.
Tell that to my parents, whose Facebook friend requests are still just sitting there.
Which, your daddy or mum?
Both now.
Are they both there?
Oh, ways, okay, yeah.
Thank God both my parents are not.
I'll send them this podcast.
So, yeah, Cindy says, please tell me there's something we can do to keep Casper's show on. Well, Casper's been on a bit of hiatus because he's been busy. He's been doing shows. He's been involved in stage shows. He's been involved in productions. And therefore, we didn't can his show, but we put it on hold. And he had a birthday on Friday or Saturday, Casper De Vries, and he put out this message about, because we can't find sponsorship for the show, we're not going to be able to do it anymore. And you'll notice that we've cancelled a lot of our shows that have just been running because they aren't necessarily money makers for us, and this is a business. And we are doing these podcast series, which requires most of our studios most of the time. And we're producing better quality content. And I love the Casper Radio Show, and it may make a return. We haven't shut the door on that one. But for now, it's on a break. And Casper's very dramatic, and he says, I'm very sorry to tell you, after numerous efforts to get a sponsor on board to continue the wonderful work we've done on the Casper Radio Show, we can't continue with any hope of resuming the show. I mean, it sounds so dramatic.
Mm.
But it's not dramatic.
It's a very official statement.
No.
Okay.
A lot of what Casper says is for effect. Maybe he's hoping for that 400 grand that petrol attempt.
Oh,
God.
Yeah. If you want to set up a backer buddy account.
Yeah, let's set up a backer buddy account for the Casper Radio Show and see how many people donate money. All right, that's it from our side.
Yeah, I have a very busy day ahead.
What are you doing?
I am waiting for the judgment of the Krugersdorp killers today.
Is that today?
It's today.
Ooh.
So what are you going to do? Sit at the TV?
And wait. A busy day of waiting.
Refresh my feed.
He's going to be refreshing his feed on
see what happens.
Media 24.
Yeah. There are three remaining of the Krugersdorp killers who will be sentenced
those
today.
Those are the most horrible people. You actually have to see them to believe that people like that could exist.
Mm-hmm.
The Krugersdorp killers.
We'll chat about that tomorrow. Let's see how much
three less killers Sia will have to deal with on the streets of Johannesburg. That's why he's excited. All right, thanks for joining us this morning. We'll catch you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. We've got a repeat of the Auto Central show, which aired last Monday, and every second week there's a brand new fresh show. They got lots of good stuff on there. If you want to find out more, you can listen today at 9 o'clock. There's also some other very cool stuff happening, and you can go to our website to find out all about the brand new series that we've launched. Last week was busy. We launched, I think, 4 new shows, and you can go and take a listen to any one of them, including our award finalist, the Blind History series, which
Ooh.
If you're a fan of history, if you like stories, you can go and subscribe your friends, your family, send the link to them. It's available on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Spotify, and on cliffcentral.com. If you haven't downloaded our app, You can do that ASAP too. And just maybe you'll find something to your liking. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow. And Ben will be back on Wednesday.
This is CliffCentral.com.